Let's get into a little 76ers conversation, because joining me now on a Comcast Business Hotline Bounce Forward is a guy who's living out his dream, Austin Krell, covering the Sixers for the Painted Lines. What's up, Austin?
Going on, Rob. Thank you for having me this evening.
Hey, man, I remember, I was just scrolling through our messages back, it probably was about a year and a half or 2 years ago, and you were doing a podcast, and you had me on your podcast, and I know that this covering the Sixers, covering the NBA, is what you wanted to do. So I got to tell you, this year, your first year as a credentialed reporter, man, I'm proud of you for getting to this point. So great work out of you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I actually remember it. It was the day after they lost to the Celtics.
Okay.
And it was a game in almost a year to the date, I would guess. Mm-hmm. It was about 2018 when it happened. And yeah, you were a gentleman, and it was a pleasure to have you on my show.
Well, and here you are now. You're covering the team. You got your credential. I'm actually going to be at a game this week. 17th. Who's that? Houston? Wednesday night?
Probably Houston. Now,
yeah.
I can't say that I will be there, because the truth of the matter is that I'm actually covering remotely from Florida right now.
Okay.
I'm on the Zoom conferences every day, though. And we, I'm in there with the guys every day, but it's still a pretty awesome first year on the job, for sure.
Well, that's great. And everybody can read your stuff at The Painted Lines, correct?
That's correct. And all over Twitter as well.
Outstanding. Well, and on Twitter, it's at NBA Krell, K-R-E-L-L. So let's get right into it. Sixers lose now two games in a row on the road. The Portland game, man, they had a chance there at the end, and then there's the inbounds play, and there was a turnover before that. But how do you look at this particular loss today to the Phoenix Suns, where they're outscored 49-20 on the bench? Do you just chalk it up to no Shake Milton, don't get enough off the bench? How do you view it?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. Milton's obviously a big part of what they do, but he's only averaging 12 to 14 points per game. A little bit of a slump right now shooting the ball. Really, it comes down to they just don't have good ball movement off of that bench. I mean, a lot of the possessions right now are for Con Korkmaz isolations, or just sort of these last second threes, with a hand in the face. My greatest observation of their bench right now is that some of their best opportunities to score the ball are coming from Dwight Howard at the free throw line, which is not exactly what you want from your bench at this stage in Dwight Howard's career.
Well, at this point where they are, they still lead the Eastern Conference. They're 18-9. They've improved on the road, despite the two losses in a row, or 500 on a road. Austin, what is their biggest need as we get closer to the trade deadline?
So, closer to the trade deadline, I think number one, I think there's two critical needs. One, they need a shot creating guard or wing off of that bench just to stabilize that second unit.
Mm-hmm.
They can't be in the negatives every game. I mean, the starting unit's really, really effective. They're amongst top three in outscoring opponents. On a nightly basis. Now, you get to the bench, they turn an 8-point lead into a 4-point deficit. So, I think it's about getting a stabilizing piece for that backup unit. And then also, I think when you have games where Embiid sits, you need a stretch five, someone that can shoot the ball from outside to go along with Ben in that lineup. I think the Dwight Howard idea in theory is a good one, because he's supposed to be able to catch lobs and just dunk the ball and get rebounds. And to his credit, he has been effective as a rebounder. But I just think that they need shooting around Simmons in order to make that lineup hum. And when you have a guy like Dwight Howard and then you add a guy like Matisse Thybulle to the mix, there's just not enough shooting out there. And their defense as a second unit isn't good enough, to not have good offense. So those are the two things. And I think there are options out there for sure.
Well, who are some of those options? Because obviously the names you hear people dream about, Bradley Beal and Zach LaVine, and those two options are costly and very unlikely, wouldn't you say? So who are some of the more realistic options?
So I think a guy in Sacramento, Nemanja Bjelica, mm-hmm. who they actually almost signed 2 summers ago, 3 summers ago, whenever that was. And, you know, he backed out of the deal, went to Sacramento, and he said he was going to go to Europe instead and kind of spurn to the Sixers. But I think that's a guy that they could go for. He played, you know, pretty significant minutes last night for the first time in a while. So obviously they're trying to showcase him a little bit in Sacramento and get that trade value up on the open market. And then I think, you know, from the guard spot and the wing spot, truth be told, like, you know, the Bradley Beal is obviously the pipe dream scenario. I would be shocked if it costs you anything less than Ben Simmons and, you know, first round picks and pick swaps out the wazoo. And same thing goes with Bradley Beal. With Zach LaVine. But, you know, I think right now the market for wings and guards, there's a lot of guys in this NBA today that if they're impactful players, they're averaging, I mean, upwards of 20 points per game. That's just the way that the league is now. You have guards that are going to be averaging 28 points a game, and they're in the all-star conversation. So, I mean, you know, I think in order to add an impact guard, the market right now just isn't necessarily that great. But I think, you know, a good bet would be to get Nemanja Bjelica. I also think that you have to monitor the Toronto Raptors situation, because if they continue to free fall and they drive into that 8, 9, 10 range, they might look to be selling off some assets. And maybe Kyle Lowry is a guy you can get. Mm. Fred VanVleet's making $20 million a year. He's playing great for them. But they might want to get assets. They might want to get a guy like a Shake Milton or a Tyrese Maxey to grow in return. So maybe that's an option you can pursue. And Lowry's not a great shooter, per se, but he's just somebody that can make plays for you and lead you as a shot creator. He's a tough defender. I know Philly fans don't like him very much because of, you know, his antics. But I think in this city...
Well, he'd be coming home, right? He'd be coming home, yeah. Austin.
They love you if he's on their side.
Yeah. What would he cost, though? What would you have to move in a deal for Kyle Lowry?
So I think that deal looks like one of Shake Milton, or Tyrese Maxey. So you have to give up one of those two guys. And I would guess cap filler. So that means Mike Scott, Terrence Ferguson, one of their, you know, two backup bigs like Vincent Poirier or Tony Bradley. And then, you know, there's a bunch of first round picks, but I think you have to consider if you're Daryl Morey, if you're Elton Brand, you have to consider, do I really want to give up, you know, a ton of young assets and picks and pick swaps and Shake or Tyrese for, you know, a guy like Kyle Lowry? I think that's a tough decision to make. I thought the Harden trade was a very tough decision to make, because you don't know if he re-signs in 2 years. You don't, you know, the 7 years, the age difference is a real thing. So I think it all depends on, you know, what Toronto is doing 6 weeks from now. And I think, you know, one thing I've always impressed upon people is this year is so different, because they have the seeding games, the 9 and the 10 spot in the East and the West, where teams might find themselves just a game or two out of those seeding spot, out of those last two spots at the trade deadline. They might say, no, you know what, we're going to go for it. We're going to see what happens here. And that can really change the ballgame for all people looking to buy at the deadline.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
What do you make of J.J. Redick? Because there's obviously, he's probably going to be on the move. Is that somebody that you would be interested in?
Yeah, I think when you have a guy like J.J. Redick, and I think that's like in the same caliber as like a guy like Kyle Korver, who's a free agent. I think, and you know, on paper you say a guy 36, 37, really can't defend. He can shoot the ball pretty well when the right pieces are there. I think New Orleans has been tough for him because the pieces haven't been great. Very, you know, easy for Redick to get open looks. But I think he knows the system, because with Doc, he played with Doc in L.A., had two of his best seasons in his career before Philadelphia with Doc in L.A. And then also he has that relationship with Embiid and Simmons. I think that would make some sense, but I think you have to ask yourself, how much am I willing to give up for him? I mean, you're not going to give up first-round picks. You're going to – I mean, my guess would be that you hope and you call out the bluff from David Griffin in New Orleans, and if he ends up waiving JJ or mm-hmm. buying him out, that then maybe you strike then. But I mean, if you're if the asking price is maybe, you know, a second round pick or whatever and some salary filler, yeah, I think that's a deal worth making.
We're talking to Austin Krell, who covers the 76ers for the Painted Lions. Austin, what do you make of Ben Simmons and the way he has played? There's been some inconsistency earlier in the season, but he's stepped up his performance for the most part more recently. What do you think of the totality of his play this year?
So I think, you know, with Ben, number one, the free throw percentage is up. Mm-hmm. He's up to like in the mid 60s. That's a career high for him. I think as the season's gone on, he's gotten more comfortable from the free throw line, and that's going to enable him, you know, as a player, as a human in his head, he's not going to feel that discomfort if I have to go to the free throw line if I get fouled. So he's going to be more willing to press the basket and put pressure on the rim. And as a result, he's being more aggressive now. He's getting to the free throw line way more. And for the most part, he's cashing in on those opportunities. I think that's really opened up a lot of things in his game. I know people want the jump shot to come, but, you know, at this point in his career, you have to ask, like, is it really going to be worth, you know, is the jump shot a big enough of a detractor from the overall success of the team where you have to really detract from Ben's overall game? And I think the answer is he's a great player everywhere else except for the jump shot. So, you know, he had the early struggles. I think he was trying to figure some things out with Doc's system. Yeah. But I think overall, you know, the free throws are way better, and he's just getting to the rim. He's being aggressive. And I also think, you know, it's Ben Simmons here. He's a guy that, you know, he wants that all-star appearance. And as you get closer to the all-star time, he's going to crank up that urgency a little bit to
yeah.
be more aggressive once they get that all-star spot.
That's a good point. Austin, last couple ones, I want to have some fun with you. What has been your favorite moment here in your first season covering the 76ers?
It's actually really funny that you asked this. And so this past week, there was a game, and, you know, when I'm covering from Florida, I don't really have my own office. And so I'm in my dad, so I took a picture in my dad's office, and it was like a picture of like the wall with like the couch and a photo on the wall. And I put that as the backdrop. And I didn't realize players and coaches could see the reporters on the beat when they asked questions. So when it became my time to ask Tobias Harris a question, he kind of called me out, and he said, is that your real background? That's not your real background, is it? And it took me by surprise because I didn't know he could see me.
No.
So I took me off, and I was like, I was shaken up by it, but everyone was reaching out to me. They were laughing about it. So it was funny.
I saw you post about that, and I was like, dude, now I got to see what the background was, because I saw that exchange was funny. But man, you're in Florida. Just take a picture of some palm trees outside instead of a picture of a picture, right?
I should have got myself like a mangrove and just on like a boat somewhere and just took a picture like that, you know.
And the last one for you, like I said, in the beginning, we spoke a few years ago. This is something that was a dream for you. You pursued it. You got to this point. What's your best advice for some of the youngsters out there, even younger than you? I know you're a young dude who look at it and go, the odds of making it, the odds of getting to live out my dream are maybe very, you know, maybe the odds of winning the lottery are better because so many people want to cover NBA teams or sports teams. What would you say to them to continue to push forward, to overcome whatever obstacles may be in their way?
Well, I think number one, the work ethic is so much of what you do. I mean, sometimes, especially when you're not getting paid, it's very easy to late at night and you want to just give in for the night, but you have to remain, you know, disciplined and have that drive to keep going and just keep producing content and getting better every day. And then I think the other thing, you know, and this is something that you taught me too, is you got to be nice to everybody. You really, you know, you got to make sure that you're read well by everybody and that everyone knows your intentions and that you treat everybody, you know, nicely. And that no matter how, you know, no matter the highs, you never forget where you came from. And I think those are all critical pieces. But also, a lot of people I think that are young are kind of afraid or timid when they, you know, when they have opportunities to meet new people. I always try to, you know, say like, hey, if someone reaches out to you or you have an opportunity to meet somebody, just connect and introduce yourself and, you know, say this is what you do, this is what you're trying to do, because you never know where it's going to take you. I mean, I messaged you two or three years ago about coming on the podcast. And then here I am. I covered the team. I'm a writer, and I'm on your show right now. So, I mean.
Ain't that awesome, man? I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. And I would add, and that's great stuff, man. I would add to this to everybody. Network and meet as many people as possible. And sometimes, you know, there's an urgency to be sarcastic and be whatever it is on social media. Be careful, because that person that you might be coming after is somebody you might be sending a resume to in the future. So, yeah, like I said to you, and we'll say, treat everybody fairly, with respect, be nice, work your butt off. Dreams do come true. Austin, great to have you on this, and congratulations, and really proud of you. He's at NBA Krell on Twitter, works for the Painted Lines, and covers the 76ers. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. Have a great one.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911, and we'll send the link straight to your phone.